The Lord Jesus, who is both God and man, is a master of teaching about divine things in human ways, or teaching spiritual truths using earthly, physical realities. And in fact, that's what the parables are all about, right? He uses ordinary things, seeds and farmers and fishing nets and whatever, to teach about spiritual life. Well, he does something similar in today's gospel, where he first of all speaks about the weather and how we interpret the weather, and then he says, well, we're supposed to be just as good at interpreting spiritual realities, the unfolding of the will of God. But he says, we don't. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? Well, since we have just passed through a weather episode, naturally, the first thing that came to my mind was interpreting the weather. And it was just yesterday morning when I was trying to interpret the weather, trying to figure out whether we should cancel our formation teaching yesterday. It was a blustery morning. It wasn't raining at the time. It wasn't even dark. And I had heard about the terrible flooding in Bicol. That was on Wednesday or Tuesday. I mean, I thought the storm has already arrived. But then I looked it up and said the storm hasn't even arrived yet. And it's going to go to the north or the northern provinces. So I said, well, what about here? Here we've got the south has had a storm, the north has a storm. So I did a little consultation, and I found out that the weather service had raised the warning to signal number 2, which really surprised me, because it didn't seem like anything was happening. And so he said, okay, well, if it's signal number 2, we might as well cancel. But as everybody knows, that was the right decision, because yesterday afternoon we were inundated with floods and storms, and big pieces of our gutter were ripped off the roof. I mean, if you've seen, 3 big pieces of the gutter were knocked off by the wind and the rain. So anyway, I wasn't good at interpreting the signs, but somebody was, a pagasa, or people who understand how these things work. They said, no, it's going to be severe, take that into account. Well, since I wasn't very good at it, in fact, right now I don't know how to interpret the weather. Is it over, or are we still in it? I can't tell. It's not raining, it's not windy, but so I'm a little bit humbled here, because Jesus says, you know how to interpret the weather, and I'm saying to myself, well, I don't even know how to do that. How are we going to interpret the present time? Well, Jesus' point here is not, of course, about weather, but about the importance of reading what God is doing, or reading or understanding what God is saying in human ways. God works in time. He works with his creation. He works with us. So he's not somewhere else in another realm, unconnected to us, doing whatever he wants. He's here with us, he's here in us, he's here among us. So people try to interpret the present time. And it seems to me what people tend to do, we even believers tend to do, is interpret earthly things according to earthly standards. So what are some of the signs of the present time? Well, certainly war is one of the signs of the times. We live in an era of war. In many, many places, not only in Ukraine and the Middle East, but also in Sudan or in Haiti or in some of the African countries. And we know the rumblings of war here in Asia, now with Korea again, tensions with China, etc. That's certainly one of the signs of the times, although if you look at the scriptures and if you look at history, that sign is almost always present. There's always war somewhere. So that doesn't convince us very much. Then you might say, well, what are other signs of the times? Another sign of the times is the whole collection of issues that is summed up with the LGBTQ+ acronym. that which is a whole bunch of things, a whole bunch of signs, you could say, issues that are that were not even imagined not too long ago, much less talked about. Even if they were imagined, nobody would dare speak about these things in polite society. But now it's kind of mainstream conversation. So that's certainly a sign of the times. What about the huge disparity between the rich and the poor? That's certainly a sign of the times. Not that there has been progress in eliminating extreme poverty. There's been progress, yes. But the most obvious thing is that the very rich are getting very much richer and leaving everybody else behind. So it's not that the rich get rich and the poor get poor. The rich get very, very rich, and the middle class and everybody else gets poor, and the poor are pretty much the same as they were before. So that's one of the signs of the times. There's more multi-billionaires now than there ever were. The climate, certainly a sign of the times. Changes in the weather patterns, evidence of crises in relation to the weather, and what could possibly be done to control the weather, because the weather is not in our hands in the direct sense. That's up to God. But anyway, these are all signs of the times. But I say, and then politics, of course, there's always tensions and disputes in the area of politics. But so I'm bringing up these things because that's what people talk about, and that's what people think about, and we pick up an issue or we find something on our social media, and we say, well, this is what we have to think about now. And we have to think about it the way everybody else is thinking about it. Jesus would say, no, you hypocrites. No, don't you know how to interpret these things from the perspective of the Christian faith? So we look to the Word of God and we say, well, what are we supposed to make of weather issues or wars or economic disparity or social upheaval? What are we supposed to make of this? Well, if you look at the Bible, the Jews were constantly being humiliated or being oppressed or experiencing hardship. And when they came to their senses, or when the prophets revealed to them what was going on, they realized they had deviated from the will of God. They had not been following the Lord. They had been following other gods or serving other gods or making alliances with the pagans. And then they said, oh, no wonder this is collapsing before our eyes. It's our own fault. That's how the scriptures interpret it. So it's not that we should be taking one political party or another, or one economic system or another, or one ideology or another. The question is, are we on God's side or not? Are we doing the will of God or not? And if we don't, we're going to reap disastrous consequences somehow or other. Now, in the case of the Israelites, they didn't know when they were being invaded or when they were being driven into exile. They didn't always know why God allowed that. And they said, Lord, why are you doing this to your own beloved people? And we ourselves, we don't understand why so many problems keep coming up. But if we listen more deeply and if we're humble enough to hear the message, it has to do with sin. Sin ruins everything. If you want to know why there are problems in the world, because of sin. That's the simple answer. And nobody wants to say that, because then the challenge is repentance, conversion. And no one wants to say that. Who are you to judge me? Who are you to tell me what to do? Well, okay, we're not telling anyone what to do, but this is the facts of the case. If we want to have a more harmonious, peaceful, beautiful world, we have to do it the way God set it up. And if we don't, we're going to have a world of division and disaster, corruption, and it will even affect the creation. It affects the weather, it affects the wind, the sea, the land. Okay, so here's what Jesus does. He says, okay, you can read the weather, but what about when you're in a conflict with someone? When you have an opponent who's going to take you before a magistrate or before a judge. What are you supposed to do? Well, we think we're supposed to make a good case for ourselves, prove that we're right, prove that he's wrong, and make sure that we win. We naturally think we have to be on top. We have to be the one in the dominant position. And Jesus says, no, why don't you make peace with your opponent while you're on the way. Why don't you try to reconcile while you're on the way? We're all on the way, right? We're all in a pilgrimage through time. And yes, we will be at some point brought before our judge. And the judge will say, well, he's not going to ask us how much money we made or how successful we were. He's going to ask, how much did you love your neighbor? How willing were you to forgive? How humble were you? Were you willing to choose what's good for others? Are you humble? This is what St. Paul teaches us here in his letter to the Ephesians. In this section, he urges us to live in a manner worthy of the call we have received. So, worthy of the one who calls us, the one who shows us how to live. And he says, how are we supposed to do it? With humility, with all humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve unity. It's not what we think of when we wake up in the morning and check our social media. It's not what we think of when we see problems in the world and we say, well, something has to be done. Because, you know, if we start with looking at all the problems in the world, very, very quickly we get overwhelmed. What can I do about the war in Sudan? What can I do about starving people in some other country? What can I do about a typhoon threatening us? They say, well, I can't do anything. I'll just take care of myself. No. Ask, what is the will of God? What does God want of me here? What is God calling? How can I live in a manner worthy of the call I have received? Well, humility, patience, gentleness, love, mercy, service. This is it. I remember back on Sunday, James and John, they wanted to sit in places of honor. They wanted what all of us want. We want the good life. We want status. We want advantage. And Jesus said, no, if you're trying to follow me, you have to follow my way. My way is not to be served, but to serve. My way is not to rise up, but to bend down. And that's the way, actually, that would not only make us happier and more peaceful, it also gives us an understanding of how to make this a better place, how to make the world a better place. So, this is what the Lord is showing us. It's precious wisdom. It's also consolation. We don't have to get burdened with all the problems in the world, because that's not what God is asking us to do. He's not asking us to do anything about this and that problem other than to pray. But he's asking us to be converted, to repent, to turn away from sin, and to become an agent of the kingdom of God in the world.